Buenos días. Disculpe, el sermón de esta mañana va a ser traducido en español por medio de los audífonos. So, si gustan uno, por favor, levanten la mano. The translation from English to Spanish in Spanish will be available through the headphones. So if you want some, please, you can feel free to raise your hand.
So before I get into the sermon, and while we're waiting for everyone to get their headphones ready, I just want to mention to the tech team, several years ago, we had a clicking that started in the sound system. It's back. Interesting. If you could remember to mention that to Oscar after the service. Okay. Was Jesus a leader or a follower? Several of you said leader. Any other? Okay, we have one follower and somebody said both. Let's stand as I read Philippians chapter 2. And I'm only going to read verses 5 through 8 for now. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, speak to our hearts. Help us to realize these truths apply to all of us. So in response to your grace, not as a means to earn your grace, but in response to the grace you have already blessed us with, help us to learn of you and help us to honor you as we follow you. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. In that sense, he was a follower of God the Father. But in his relationships with people, he was definitely a leader. Was the Apostle Paul a follower or a leader? Noah? Okay. Was Paul a follower or a leader? Anybody? Okay, he was a disciple, he was a follower. Someone says both. He was an apostle. He went. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, written by the Apostle Paul. Ready? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So he was both. Are you, each one of you, are you a leader or a follower? Well, in the church, some have positions of leadership, and in those areas of ministry, the rest of us follow. So let me ask it this way. Should you be a leader, or should you be a follower? The answer, again, is both. If you can't follow, you can't lead. At least not biblically. In the world, you can lead without serving. You can lead without following, but not in the church. And the Spanish translates this verse well because the idea is to imitate Jesus, to behave in accordance or in agreement with the one you are following, to become like the one you are following, to focus on you, yourself, to applaud you. Oh, wait a minute. I skipped something. Sorry. If you are wanting people to follow you, to focus on you, to applaud you, then you're not a biblical leader. You're a worldly leader. Biblical leaders point people to Jesus, to follow him, to imitate him, not to imitate us. It's all about Jesus. So we're going to look at several verses in Proverbs. Many of them talk about kings, but the principles in Proverbs and in other parts of the Bible apply to all leaders today. Did you hear that? And if you have influence over anyone, and we all do, then you are to some degree leading that person. And you will be accountable to God for how you manage that leadership in the lives of those around you. And anyone who is unwilling to be held accountable in this life is not biblically qualified to be a leader. So this sermon is, surprisingly for me, on the shorter side. Some of these verses, I'm only going to make a comment or two. So I am intentionally going to be reading and talking slower than normal, because I really want you to listen to these truths. These truths about kings, about leaders, they really do apply to every one of you. So please listen. So here, leaders, is some advice from Proverbs. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous thrive, the The people rejoice when the wicked rule. The people groan. What you do affects other people. And this is especially applies to leaders, because leaders have greater influence on those he or she leads. Leaders have a greater responsibility because of this. In the New Testament, James warns us of this. The more people you lead, the more people you influence, the greater your responsibility before God. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, "For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." James echoes that when he writes, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." If you remember our sermon series through Jeremiah a year or so ago, the prophet warned of false prophets, those who mislead others. All of Jeremiah chapter 29, it's a great chapter, by the way. Jot it down in your notes. Go back and read it later. Jeremiah chapter 29. All of chapter 29 in Jeremiah warns of their punishment. Through the prophet in that chapter, God says, "Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, 'The Lord declares.' Therefore, I will surely forget you and cast you out of my presence, along with the city I gave to you and your fathers. I will bring upon you everlasting disgrace, everlasting shame that will not be forgotten." God will hold those who mislead others accountable. Now, did I mention this doesn't just apply to kings or prophets, that it applies to you? Let me read that last sentence again. God will hold those who mislead others accountable. Don't go along with others in lies or false teaching or sin. Proverbs 11:14. "For lack of guidance, a nation falls. But many advisors make victory sure." Leaders are not afraid to ask advice. Proverbs 15:22. "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." So make sure that whoever you ask advice from is a person of integrity. Sorry, Elsa. Elsa's translating, and I'm deviating from my notes. Sometimes when we want to do something and we know it's really not the right thing to do, to make ourselves feel better, we will go ask somebody who we're pretty sure will agree with us to help us justify going ahead and doing it. If you go to our church website and click on the sermon page, at the very bottom of it, there is a sermon from 1st or 2nd Kings. I forget the chapter. But it's the last one in the list. Sermons right now only go back a year or two. And at the very bottom, there's one from several years ago. And I've asked the tech team to leave that one on there till Jesus comes back. I think it's one of my best sermons. I actually do, but the reason is, and I admit this in the sermon, it's actually based on a sermon by another preacher named Haddon Robinson. And I admit that I freely plagiarized from his sermon. I confess that up front, because it's such a good sermon that he preached. It actually made mine okay. So, but in that sermon, there are two kings talking. King of one country, king of another country. And they're discussing whether they should go to war with a third country. So one king says, "Do you have any prophets here? Let's ask the prophets their opinion. Let's get advice." So they call in the prophets. There's quite a few of them. And they all tell the kings what they want to hear. Yeah. Go ahead. Attack. You'll win. Because those prophets knew that the kings wanted to go to war. One king looks at the other and says, "Isn't there any other prophet around here that we can ask? Is there a prophet from the Lord?" And the other king says, "Yeah, there's one, but he never tells me what I want to hear." You can Google Haddon Robinson's. It's H-A-D-D-O-N. You can Google that, and the title of that sermon is called Moral Courage. I cannot tell you. I've listened to that sermon 100 times. So anyway, the two kings call this prophet. His name is Micaiah. Micaiah comes in, and they ask him, "Should we go to war or not?" With extreme sarcasm, Micaiah says, "Yeah! Go to war! You'll win!" And the one king looks at the other and says, "See? He's making fun of us." And Micaiah predicts the failure of the battle. And the prophecy comes true. We do that. We want to dabble in some sin. We want to do this or that. Then we'll find people that will help us justify that. God will hold those who mislead others accountable. And I'm letting you know right now, if you come to me for advice, my advice is going to be based on this, not based on what you want to hear. And I would advise you to go with this. Bottom of page 7, Elsa. Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Leaders are not afraid to ask advice. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So again, make sure that whoever you ask advice from is a person of integrity. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. And verse 6 of that chapter says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Have friends around you that will pull you up instead of drag you down. Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. And leaders should speak the truth. Honesty should be a prominent characteristic of a leader. Leaders should lead in truth and with truth. And leaders should lead people to truth. Are you leading your family into truth? Into righteousness? Or into lies and sin? Proverbs 29:2 tells us that a nation or any group of people is better off when the leaders lead with wisdom. So listen. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a man of understanding and knowledge maintains order. Leaders are to maintain self-control. Let me read that again. Leaders are to maintain self-control. Proverbs 31:4-5 says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Listen close. The principle here, the principle here is that leaders are not to allow their faculties to be impaired by anything. This obviously applies to substance abuse of any kind. But it also, listen close, it also applies to being brought under the influence of false teaching, false worldviews, propaganda, or any kind of erroneous philosophy. We are so easily influenced. You are. You are. And we're most easily influenced by people that we are attracted to. Jesus warns of people who look good, charismatic, attractive, successful. People that look good to you, he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. You need to check out anything anybody says with what the Bible says. That includes what I'm saying right now. Especially right now, because all of you really like me so much. I'm being serious. Proverbs 16, verses 10 through 12. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. A king should be concerned with justice and fairness for those under their leadership. What is right, not what is expedient. Not what is popular. What's right. Proverbs 29:4. By justice, a king gives a country stability. But one who is greedy for bribes tears it down. When people know their leaders will do the right thing, oh my goodness, please listen close to this. This verse is teaching. When people know their leaders will do the right thing and that their leaders have the best interest of the people, then people will trust their leaders. And it will make the country, the people group, whoever, more stable. Verse 14 reinforces this. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will always be secure. Remember, Proverbs in the Bible are general observations of life and general principles to apply to life. So if a leader's in it for selfish reasons, if they will cut corners for money or for power, if they will manipulate the laws and the finances of their people, to gain money for themselves, people won't trust them. And the country or the group of people that is being led will be unstable. This is true in homes too. Dad, Mom, are you doing what is best for your family? What is right for your family? Or what's best for you. It's also true of friends. Are you doing your best for your friends around you? Or are you just doing what you do for yourself? It's also true in churches. Be careful of leaders who emphasize money or power. Leaders who are arrogant. Leaders who think they're always right. And you're always wrong. People who think they're above themselves. People who think they're above the teachings of the Bible. Be careful of leaders who don't think they have to follow church policy. So let me just say this. We can all fall into sin. You, Northwest Church, you keep an eye on your leaders. And that includes me. No one is the exception to the call to integrity and honesty. No one. Leaders are to be servants of the people they lead, not masters or lords over them. I have to pause here, Elsa. Someone a few months ago was asking something of me, and it was something that I could not do on my own. I would have needed many other people to help me pull this off. And I said, I can't do that. I don't have the capacity. And they said, just tell your church, tell your people to do it for you. Just tell them. And I said, I don't think you understand how our church works. I don't tell my people what to do. They're not my servants. They tell me what to do. I am their servants. Leaders should realize that they are simply servants, not kings or dictators. In our scripture reading earlier, from Mark, we read the mission statement of Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So listen close. As I read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, I'm going to read it very slowly, very thoughtfully. Listen. And the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he's writing it to Christians. Okay? He's writing this, if you're a Christian, to you. And he says, if you have any encouragement for being united in Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And pause here, Elsa. What was the attitude of Christ Jesus? He tells us. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He, Jesus Christ, God the Son, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is a leader. And he's my leader. Is he yours? Are you following this humble servant leader? And are you being a humble servant follower and leader in your own life? Or is your life all about you? A couple of days ago, I forget when it was, Pam and I were talking about something that we were thinking of doing. And I remember telling her, we're not here for ourselves. We're here to serve others. I think we need to do this. Being a biblical, Christ-following, truth-leading friend, parent, sibling, church member, citizen, it'll cost you. You're going to have to let go of a lot of this world stuff. But it's worth it to be like Jesus. It's worth it. Let's pray. Oh my goodness, Lord. Studying for this sermon has opened my eyes. How often I have failed at so many of these proverbs. How often I don't follow you the way I should. How often I don't lead others the way I should. Help me to be like you, Jesus. humble and yet so confident in the truth. Don't have to prove anything to anyone. Just walk with you. God, help me to be like Jesus. Help all of us to be like Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And let me just say, there's a TV series streaming on Amazon right now called The Chosen. There's a line that the writers have written into the show. When Matthew, a former tax collector, is talking with a Roman centurion who used to be his guard. And this Roman centurion, he is amazed at the change that has happened in Matthew's life. And Matthew says to this Roman soldier, I love this quote. I have the t-shirt. I only have one thing to do today. Follow him. And the rest takes care of itself. Let go of the stuff of this world, people, and follow Jesus. Thank you.